Good evening and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be back in the studio with my beautiful sister, Tara, and Sandy, and Shelly. So if you hear other voices, they're real. They're friends of ours.
We want to hear their voices.
Yes. And last week we were, we're doing Tara Rise Bible study, wishing forward 7 ways Jesus prayed. And last week we were in Luke 9, the Transfiguration, which means metamorphosis, like a butterfly. I had to get some clarity on that.
What does it mean to be transfigured? You know, yes. Transformers.
I know, it just
more
sounds like
than meets the eye.
Sounds like a big word.
It does. But it is a big word, but it's, you know, our guys know it when they build their little toys.
I know. Right. I should have known what it meant.
Yeah. So Sabrina, do you think you can like maybe give us a recap?
I will try to do a recap of Luke 9, verses 28 through 36.
All right.
Okay. About 8 days.
We'll chime in if we need help.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just kind of go.
We'll give you a lifeline.
I'll raise my hand.
Okay.
Nobody can see me. Okay. About 8 days after these words, he took Peter, James, and John, and they went up to the mountain, and they were very tired, and they went to pray. And as they were praying, the appearance of God's appearance changed, and it turned into dazzling white. And then his clothes changed, and suddenly there were 2 men that were talking with him, and it was Moses and Elijah. And Peter had seen them and said, "Can we go build temples for all 3, Moses, Elijah, and God?"
Jesus.
And Jesus.
Okay, what's your question?
What's the next one after that?
Okay, so after that happens, a cloud appears. And when the cloud appears, what happens?
After the cloud appears, God speaks to them through the cloud.
And what does he say?
And he says, this is my son who I have chosen.
Mm-hmm. And then?
And they heard.
Listen to him.
Oh, and listen to him.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. And then were they able to stand up straight and just kind of listen to the voice, or what did they do? Did it scare them?
Yeah, they were afraid.
And they fell what? Face down on their faces. They did.
Right, because they were still a little sleepy, they said.
Yeah, they were tired. They were exhausted. It had been a long night, and now all of a sudden they're seeing this glorious appearing, and then a voice of heaven. Crazy. And as they're face down on the ground, what did Jesus do? He walked over to them and he touched them and he said, "Get up, do not be afraid." It's really good. And so here we have in this passage, you did an awesome job, Sabrina. Oh. Me putting you on the spot. Don't be so nervous.
It's okay. I love you.
That's unconditional. Love.
I try.
I think I just got kicked.
No. I love you. I have to practice this probably for like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. And I've been studying it for 1.5 years.
And so I just want it to be the way she does it. And I know it can't, you know.
And it's not supposed to be, because when the key is, the whole point behind us using this, using the biblical telling, the whole point behind it is when we go out into the real world, Sabrina, you do this and you do this well. Because I've watched. We have to be able to tell people in our own words, not be bogged down with perfection, not be bogged down with all the burden of thinking I've got the these, the thous, and the verilies, but the concept of the story
so that
a person can draw near to God as I tell it to the best of my ability.
Right, because what I would take from this is that when you pray, you'll see transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
just like the disciples did with Jesus.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great things. Okay, now here, I have to share something with y'all that happened to me as I was studying this. I think about 3 weeks ago, one morning I was looking at it and I thought, now, that says 8 days. 8 days, what's so important about 8 days? Yeah. Why would God give us 8 days? Why would he tell us it happened 8 days after the big question, you know? And so I wanted to really understand, you know, after Peter's confession, why 8 days? Why 8?
Right.
And then the first thing that came to my mind was, wow, well, it was on the 8th day they took Jesus into the temple to have him consecrated when he was a baby. Mm. Consecration
means
to be set apart, for the things of God. Okay. And I thought, That is absolutely amazing. So then I began researching a little bit more. And I was looking at and studying in Luke 2 when he was taken into the temple. And I wrote down some things that actually happened. And I noticed that he was given a name. And he was set apart for the kingdom of God. And then an offering was made, a sacrifice, you know, had occurred. And in this particular passage in Luke 9, God the Father names him, who he is. This is my son. Points out what his call is, how he's consecrated. I have chosen him. And then he gives a command. Listen to him. How cool is that? So there is a tie-in to the eight. Now, on the break, Sandy had a great question. Sandy, can you tell us what your question was that you asked?
Well, I'd looked at some of the other chapters in Mark and Matthew, and then one of them, I think it was Mark, said 6 days.
Yeah.
And I know it's just an interpretation from what, okay. But why the discrepancy, I guess.
No, it's good. It's good. That is a really good question. And if you go in and study any of the commentaries, they immediately dive in. Why did some of the gospel accounts say 6 and some said 8? And the best description I found was it depended on how they counted the days. Mm. If they counted the day that the confession happened and the day the transfiguration happened, that would be 8 days. But if they counted the days in between, it would be 6. And that's how they would do their counting. So Luke was counting the day of and the day of the event, whereas Matthew and Mark were counting the days in between. So it was a difference of preposition, how the placement of the preposition. So if we understood the Greek and how it was laid out, that would make it very clear to us in their language, but it doesn't for us because of the translation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense.
And I'm like,
sense.
I went, oh, duh, I could have had a V8 because I did the same thing. You know, it didn't make sense until I actually went in and studied to find out why it was that way. And but as I was thinking about this whole concept, here we have Jesus being consecrated once again. Okay, you think it happened at his birth? Well, let's think. Okay, first announcement came at his the night that he was born. And that came with a host of angels and a star in the sky. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Unto us this day in the city of David a Savior is born. You'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then the next time we see about the consecration would be 8 days after birth, which was tradition in Hebrew. They would all, on the eighth day, that's the day that they would set apart for consecration, the firstborn male son. And then here on this one, so I think it's kind of fun that Luke is the one that brought that up.
Right.
Just because it really...
He's a doctor. He's more detailed than...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be explaining why he would have those days. But it helps us to really focus in on the fact that it's one more example of how Christ is set apart, because it's the Father's voice of heaven speaking. And so here's my question. I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm reading this and I'm sitting there going, okay, God, this is huge. I mean, it says that his face changed and then his clothes changed and then these two men appear and they're in glory as well. I mean, you're talking mega light is happening on the Temple Mount. Now, they believe it could have been Mount Hebron, and then or Tabor, and then some places it calls it Mount Hermon. They debate back and forth. Most commentators settled on Mount Hermon, okay? And they said that most likely there was this big terrace, like of a space where like a plateau or something that they would have been on. And I thought, how in the world did the rest of the world not see that light?
Good point.
Because you're talking, it was the glory of heaven's light. And so I began to question, you know, okay, how did the rest of the people not see? And I went back and I noticed that when Moses was up on the mountain with God and in the cloud encompassed him. And here it says the cloud enveloped them. And so it completely surrounded them. So I don't know if all of this was happening so fast, like he's praying, boom, there's the guys, they wake up, boom, he says it. I mean, if we were acting this out, honestly and truly, it wouldn't take many mm-hmm. seconds. And so the cloud enveloped them, and that would have suppressed the mm-hmm. light from being seen by everybody, because Jesus tells them, do not tell anyone mm-hmm. until resurrection. You know, he tells them to wait. He doesn't want them telling people. Is that cool?
It is really cool. And I just, I guess personally, because of some things that are going on in my life right now, I feel like I'm being challenged instead of going to the phone, go to the throne. Uh-huh. Because it's really easy to go to a person. And, you know, when God says you don't need to tell everybody everything, and it's not necessarily the exact, obviously the same thing. But I just, when you said that, it just hit me, because I thought, I feel like God has been telling me, this is me, this is you and I. You can come to me with every heartache, with everything, and we're going to do it together. Mm. Now, it's okay to have friends, and there's times for that. But I think when you're going through probably the deepest, you know, changes or hardest times of your life, you really have to cling to him. Mm-hmm. And he really wants us to understand that, you know. He wants it to be private and to be personal and intimate between us before it's going to be fruitful anywhere else.
Well, I didn't intend to talk about this until much later, but Sabrina, that is an awesome segue for something that I read. J.W. McGarvey, the commentator that I love long, long time ago, he said that why the three? The big question, why the three? Why the three? And, you know, and of course, because three as in the importance of a witness. But he said, by him telling them not to tell anyone, it allowed the three of them to have something that was special, that was a bond between them, so that in their moments of secrecy together, as they would dialogue and discuss, it would become so much a part of who they are that when the time is right for them to proclaim it, it will have been so solidified. Hmm. And because there is something about that meditating on a truth and the reality of something that God is revealing to us, that when it is time to make it known, it's just evident. And he said the proof of that is, before Peter ever wrote about this, all three gospel accounts did, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Hmm. Okay, all of them had already written about it before Peter ever came out with 1 Peter and 2 Peter. And he does reference it. And we'll talk about that aspect later. But isn't that cool how, you know, just meditating and allowing God to be the one to speak to us as we face circumstances and allowing him to speak into our lives. Mm-hmm. And it makes it more real.
Yep.
But as that passion takes hold, it builds the passion, and it also increases the faith.
Yes.
And enables us then to be stronger once we are able to communicate it more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably some solidifying that needed to occur in them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And because Jesus has been preparing all along for Jerusalem, and he is telling them, you know, I'm coming, and I have to, they're going to kill me, and I'm going to have to die, I'm going to rise, and they're hearing him, but they're not getting it. And by allowing them to see his glory, it gives them a greater vision, you know, a greater insight into what's going on.
Mm. Yeah. I love that, because God sees the beginning and the end when we only see today, and we're like, oh, just get me through today.
Yeah.
Just get me through today. And he's like, you have no idea what I have in store for you, you know? Count it all joy.
That's exactly it.
If you would even think about something like this happening today to give us a glimpse into what might be, that would be amazing to see how, you know, what people would really do with that.
I don't think that people would handle it very well.
Mm-mm.
I really don't. One of the things I keep asking myself is like, God, why don't we have the privilege of seeing some of the things that you allowed them to see? You know, what have we done, allowed into our lives, or hindered our ability, or was it only for such a time as this?
Right.
You know, what is the purpose in that? And, you know, because I would love nothing more than to see the fullness of his glory, to see the manifestation of his glory revealed.
He knows what we can handle.
I think that's
And that's a huge part, too.
Yeah. Or how many people have seen something, and then there's just doubt.
Mm-hmm.
That, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That too. I think that can come into play as well, you know.
But God comes in so many different ways. I know that you've experienced his presence in so many ways. And I think that alone mm-hmm. is just a gift, you know, to be thankful for when he speaks in specific situations in our lives. You're like, that was so from God. I know that was him to solidify what we needed to know.
Those affirmations are awesome, aren't they? Mm-hmm. I had something really amazing happen to me in that a week or so ago, I had a circumstance where I had a person, I don't even know how to say it, but spoken something over me that was just not very nice and not very godly and not very professional. And it was just one of those circumstances where the person standing next to me and myself, we both just kind of went slack jaw and just kind of listened and allowed it to happen and then went on. And I'm like, God, really? How did that happen? And it's a godly person. I don't think any offense was intended. It's just the mouth just went as it should not. And the very next morning, somebody who does not know what happened, I mean, nobody knew. It was just me and this one person standing there and the person speaking. I received an email from somebody in my life that is mentoring me and knew nothing of it at all. The very thing that was spoken against me was the very first paragraph of the email of this person speaking life to me as they had been in prayer that morning and something God had put on their heart. And no clue that that would have been something I would have, or as was, at 1:30 in the morning struggling with, trying to figure it out and asking God to work in me so that I not allow offense in my heart and all, to wake up and have somebody else invest in me in the exact words and the exact system and function that the conversation had taken place and bring an affirmation in, all through the power of somebody taking time to pray and then follow when God spoke into their heart. In that aspect, I felt like I saw a tremendous amount of the glory of God revealed. And I hope and pray that I can be like this mentor someday to somebody the way this person has been for me. It's amazing. You just kind of go, really? That's amazing. You know, how such dichotomy within, you know, the body of Christ, you know, and the outcome of the spoken word.
The Holy Spirit connecting us all together as long as we're choosing obedience.
Yeah. It's important.
It's always about choice.
Isn't it? It Everything. Is, isn't it, Sandy? I'm glad that you guys have been listening to us on Cultivating Hearts. You know, this whole topic of the transformation, it's amazing. And watching that occurrence happen in Christ brought change into the disciples. And so you need to come back so that we can talk further on this. God bless.